saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes, great for any project. Whether you're pouring a walkway, a concrete slab, or setting a post, view our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
El Jefe on Twitter, you guys think that Texans Caserio is going to get the young guy looking for the next McVay, or you think they're looking for an experienced coach? It looks like they want the young guy, because the only experienced coach that's on their interview request list is Peyton. I mean, everybody else is an assistant, right, that's not been a head coach before. Benny Johnson, D'Amico Ryan, Steichen, Gannon.
Of the current list, yep.
The newest one added to the list, Thomas Brown, associate head coach, tight ends coach with the Rams. I am a little interested by that one.
Why?
I'm a little interested by that one.
Because of the McVay tree?
Because of the Rooney Rule.
Oh.
Is this because it was late, right? Yeah, like, right. It's the latest one. It's the latest one of the guys that
gotta
we know.
Gotta have two, right?
Gotta have two. Is one of the two going to decline a request for interview?
Well, it's D'Amico, yeah. It's
like
that. Point.
That's where my mind went. Like, did they add Thomas Brown because they had to add a second?
OC from the Giants?
No, he got fired. Oh, Kafka, yeah.
Yeah, Kafka.
Kafka's very white.
I know. No, I'm not talking about it from the Rooney Rule perspective. I'm saying they've added guys to the list.
I think that was.
He wasn't on the initial five.
Was that 2 days ago or was that yesterday? They all run together.
That's why I'm saying you could still continue. I want them to keep adding. I want them to interview anybody, that kick the tires on everybody if you want, just for the intel and the fact that you can leave no stone unturned.
Same.
But at the same time, when you look at, and El Jefe, great to hear from you, longtime listener of the station. I think that when you look at it from that perspective, I think you can have both. It's just the fact that just because Sean Payton has won a Super Bowl and he has that experience, there still may be guys that you interview that has been an experienced head coach before if they would interview either Kingsbury or Harbaugh. You don't have to hire either one.
Right.
But I also think from the Caserio perspective, he's still a control freak. I think that as much as he was willing to say what he said at the press conference, if he had his druthers, he doesn't want a guy that is going to be the alpha in the room instantly if it was a Sean Payton type.
I completely disagree with that.
Why?
Completely disagree. I don't think he wants that. I don't think he wants that anymore. I don't think he wants to be the face of the franchise. I think
he
wants
the
head coach to be the
franchise. But I don't think he wants a guy that's going to tell him how it is and how it's going to be.
I think he wants the 53, but I don't think Caserio has any problem working with the head coach. I really don't. And maybe there's not really any great evidence to prove that with the Texans.
There's not. I would push back on that and say, coming from a Belichick run system, and at least he came in guns blazing, like from the headsets in on game days and everything
which
else.
Which he did with Belichick.
And on practices and everything else. But he was vocal these. He was vocal. Audio on the headset
He was telling Cully the optimal thing to do.
He was basically the senior coaching advisor telling Cully everything to do.
What we know Caserio told Cully on the headsets was the correct thing. Like, that's the one thing that's, like, I can, like, the perception
nonetheless,
the perception of GM being on headset with coach does not sound good, and we bashed it. We absolutely crushed it. But it was also the right, I'm not saying being on headset was the right thing to do. The situation that we know he told Cully was the correct thing to do in that situation.
Right, but that leads me to believe that he at least came in with that kind of controlled mentality that this is my show. Now, he went through a lot in the meantime. If this is part of the 180 transformation of the entire franchise, I don't know. But I would think if he had his druthers, he still wants to be the smartest guy in the room at the end of the day that makes the end decision. I don't think he wants a veteran coach that's going to push him or maybe disagree with him and win out. In the case of, say, Dusty Baker with the owner versus the general manager when it came to James Click, I don't think Caserio wants a situation where he gets overruled by coach and owner.
And maybe. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line for Lamont. Lamont, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Lamont?
Hey, man, I don't want Peyton, Sean Payton. I tweeted this to you guys. So we basically got the 12th round. We got this pick from a guy that didn't want to be on the team, that quit on it. Are we going to trade this pick for a guy that quit on the team?
There's irony
that's
there.
Pretty much what we, that's pretty much what we're talking about here. But for the one thing that you guys was talking about, which y'all like about Peyton, that he would alleviate some of the duties from Caserio, that's what I'm afraid of with Peyton. When I go back and look at the New Orleans Saints, they cap situation. Peyton was involved in that. I mean, he's like a souped up Bill. He's better than Bill O'Brien, but in the end, he's almost Bill O'Brien to me in terms of the way the cap was managed over there in New Orleans. That's all I have, fellas.
I think it's a great point, Lamont. Like, a lot of times whenever, you know, Blankers brought up the Bill Parcells point yesterday, if you're cooking the meal, you want to buy the groceries.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you're working in the NFL doing that, whenever it's a salary cap league, whenever you have, you know, draft capital in the future that you're working with, a lot of times you'll sell the future for the now. And the Texans are an organization right now with where they're at that they can't afford to sell the future for the now. They can't afford to use two first-round draft picks to bring Lamar so he'd be the Maserati next to a trailer park. They can't afford to do that. That doesn't make any sense for the Houston Texans. Sean Payton with the Saints got the Saints in cap hell, and he used the first-rounders aggressively to improve the team right now. Would that change in Houston? Maybe. And that's probably going to be part of his pitch if he really wants the Texans job, because you can't put together a win-now mentality in Houston. You want to improve, but it's more of a long build than a like rapid build that where you're winning 10
games next
year.
This is the Rams example. When the Rams are close to go-for-it mode, or the Daryl Morey example if you want the local version of it. When Daryl thought that they were close to winning a title, he mortgaged every draft pick he possibly could to get anybody that could help him right now. And I think that's where the Rams were, and it worked out for them. They won a Super Bowl. Now they have all kinds of massive obstacles, and maybe that's part of the reason why McVay now wants out. But the Texans are nowhere near that. And so it's a totally different situation. That's why I think it's the wrong fit at the wrong time.
Yeah, and I think the Lamont's point, too, about, like, he drew the comparison to Bill O'Brien. And, like, I don't really want to say, like, O'Brien, Peyton, apple-to-apple comparison. But Bill O'Brien, whenever he was the head coach of the Texans, sold the future for the now, right? Where he was trading two first-round draft picks and a third-rounder for Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills. He was trying to win immediately. Mm-hmm. He was giving big contracts.
He had very little holes, contracts. But the ones that he had to fill, he was willing to go balls out to go get guys that could fill those holes.
Or taking, like, we're taking care of Whitney Mercilus and overpaying him when he was late in his career. Nick Martin overpaying him when nobody viewed him as a top, you know, center in the league. And now he's a, like, is he even in the NFL anymore? Like, he's a backup somewhere. I think. At least he was last year. But, like, general, like, head coaches, a lot of times it's difficult to also wear the general manager hat. And most of the time when they do, they're trying to win immediately. So Lamont's point is a very good one, I believe. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line. JC, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, JC?
All right, guys. I really don't want to see Sean Payton as our head coach. I don't like the idea of giving up the 12th pick. Like you guys said, the caliber of players that you can get for 12 is great. And giving up that for a coach who we have no history of knowing whether he works well with a young QB. He's had Breeze the moment he got tied into New Orleans. We have no knowledge of him working with a young QB, because when he had to, he gave up on the team.
Yeah.
So really don't want to see him here.
I don't either. I think it's a bad fit. I'm hoping that Sean Payton is using the Texans to get something that he wants elsewhere. I love the fact that he's interviewing. I know we spent the first hour plus of this show saying, do not bring Sean Payton to Houston. I love that he's interviewing for the job. I think it's great to pick the brain of a Sean Payton, of somebody with a good resume, even though the Super Bowl came 13 years ago. It makes all the sense in the world to bring him in, have him evaluate the organization, well, have the conversation.
The
intel data is very important. Just don't hire him.
Where it starts with, he's an offensive-minded guy that's worked with Drew Brees, and a lot of people say he makes quarterbacks better, right? But from an organizational standpoint, he's also very, very vocal recently about what you're looking for the prototypical quarterback in today's NFL. Take everything you can get from him. Now, don't take it and have it be the judge and jury, but take it as part of the cross-section that you're going to get with all these interviews to try and get a better direction for what we should be looking at, who we might be interested in. Maybe he sees something in some of these quarterbacks coming out that he could tell you, and he might be candid enough to say, hey, look, if I had your picks, this is who I'd be looking at. If you guys were looking at quarterbacks, this is what I see out of these three guys. Use that as part of your overall notes and intel as you go into the draft.
0174 with a completely off-topic text that got my attention. He says Texans should take Bijan Robinson and Will Levis in the first. I like half of that. I like half of that. And the half that I like is Will Levis. I don't believe in drafting a running back
Damian
in the first
Pierce.
Round. Exactly. Well, I mean, Bijan Robinson's going to be a first rounder. Bijan Robinson
he is, but
very
that doesn't mean
good.
You need him.
I don't believe in drafting running backs in the first round. I want pick 101 to be a running back. I want pick 101 to be the running back that Houston takes to complement Damian Pierce. And really, I want it to be like a really good running back out of the backfield. Somebody who can catch passes. Like, Darren Sproles is always the name that comes up when you talk about, you know, a good pass catching back out of the backfield. I want that compliment to Damian Pierce. Bijan Robinson's going to be intriguing, though, in the NFL. 713-780-ESPN, 6602. He, Peyton, is a superstar who jumps to good team to good team. He's like Kevin Durant. So Sean Payton's been compared to Kevin Durant and James Harden. So far on the Killer Bees today. Also,
I got half of that.
You were half of that. 6602, talking about the draft. Get best at the best available at number two. Get best available at number two and 12. USC quarterback next year, another quarterback in this year's draft or next. Look, you might love Caleb Williams. I know that we've entertained the conversation because I think it was Sean Payton. Was it Sean Payton that called Caleb Williams the next Pat Mahomes? Or was that...
That I don't recall.
Or was that Chris Spielman? It was either Chris Spielman or Sean Payton that called Caleb Williams the next Pat Mahomes. And we entertained the conversation. If you can guarantee me that Caleb Williams is the next Pat Mahomes, do you do everything possible to get Caleb Williams next year? Even if you think that, but where Casario's at currently, I don't think he can afford to do it.
No, I would say, but there's no guarantees, as we know, in life and
right.
in football.
And that's the other part.
So you may think that. And that might be the reason why, but there's too many variables you don't control that could be influenced by in trying to get where you need to go. So I don't like that at all, no matter who said that. So yeah, I look, to me, again, wrong fit at the wrong time, and that's without talking about draft capital. But let's just be real and real honest in the fact that it's starting at a number one. It's going to go up from there. It's going to be a package. And he is using the Texans just like he's going to use the Cardinals, just like he's going to use the Broncos for whatever they have to offer, and whoever else gets in the mix. And he is going to make sure that he goes where he wants to go, and the Saints are going to make damn sure they get the top dollar for him.
Yeah, 713-780-ESPN. One more that got texted to us that's not anything related with Peyton. 5535, would 12 and 13 move you up to 6 possibly?
Yeah.
I think it's possible. I think it's possible. I think it depends on who's there. Because I've mentioned the five names
the
that
five
I think
that
will go
think
1, 2,
go,
3,
right.
4, 5, Levis, Stroud, Anderson, Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, no particular order. If one of those slips to 6, I'm not sure 12 and 33 moves you up to 6.
Can I ask you a question real quick on this other thing, too,
no.
that we haven't talked about
no.
yet? No. Have we not thought about the fact, too, if you're Sean Payton, because it's not your draft capital that's being acquired, you don't care what the Saints get. Aren't you a little bit concerned that if I would take in and entertain the Texans job, part of the enticement is I got two high first-round picks. I don't want the organization to give up one of them to get me.
It's a great point. It's a great point. Like, how is the Texans job currently enticing? Because they have two first-rounders this year. They have two first-rounders next year. They have a lot of cap space.
Yep.
If all of a sudden you take the number 12 pick that's part of the appeal to be the Houston Texans head
a little
coach,
luster away.
It lessens the appeal. That's a great point. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's talk some NFL wild card playoff. Which teams in the NFL right now, the playoff teams, who are you feeling good about? Which playoff teams are you not feeling good about? Where are you going against the grain? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One thing that you should not go against the grain with is your human resources and payroll. I got to tell you about HRMP and business owners, you need to listen up. It's Cougar-owned, HRMP is, by Mike Holly. Used to protect Heisman Trophy winners, and now he wants to protect you and your business. HRMP, members of the Cougar 100, going on a decade now, nearly a decade. You've seen the HRMP signage at U of H games. You've seen their the beautiful building off the Beltway with that beautiful U of H flag hanging outside of it. Business owners, let HRMP help you. HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. HRMP can help in any or all of those areas. There's no boxes with HRMP. Doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter how big. HRMP will completely customize a plan for what you and your business needs. If you have a problem, an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, HRMP will find a way to help. Let HRMP take a lot of the time and energy off your plate. That way you can spend that time and energy back into your business and growing your business. HRMP does it in a way that's unique as well. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll love that, but you'll love their service. I call them up all the time. I email them up all the time, too, whenever I have a question, because Gallup Media, of course, is partnered with HRMP, and they're always so fast, always so helpful. So take care of your employees by switching to HRMP. It's guaranteed fulfillment. You won't be talking to a stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows you and your business needs. Give them a call at 281-880-6525 and let HRMP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Turn down for what?
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Couple of texts before we move on to the NFL wildcard round. 4995, Deuce Vaughn is the running back the Texans need. I love that idea. I just don't want him any earlier. And Deuce Vaughn, I'm not really sure where he's being projected to pick. I've seen him go in like 6th, 7th round, and I've seen him as high as 4th. So it's a very high range for Deuce Vaughn. I like the idea of a Deuce Vaughn next to a Damian Pierce because I think Vaughn gives you that pass catcher out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. Someone else texting in, 7612, what about Bijan Robinson's backup? You could get him late from watching Texas football. They always said he could start for other teams. I believe he's talking about Roschon Johnson, who was the converted quarterback. They did not really use him as a pass catcher out of the backfield, so I don't know if he's really going to help you in that regard. Now, I don't hate the idea of actually taking two running backs in this draft and completely have a new running back room next year. Damian Pierce, obviously, as the running back one with this team. Like, a lot of people are tired of the Rex Burkheads, the Dares, like, I mean, Royce Freeman, Marlon Mack. Remember Marlon Mack was running back number one when this team started camp, by the way. Just start anew. Like, start completely fresh. And the Texans have so many draft picks that if you draft, let's say, I want to draft a running back at pick 101. First pick, fourth round. I don't want to use one on a first. I don't want to draft a running back with a second or a third. Pick 101. Best running back available, preferably a pass catcher out of the backfield. Draft one there, and then a late seventh round flyer or sixth round flyer, another running back. Like, Roschon Johnson may go sixth round. He's more of a between the tackle running back, I think. Pass catcher in the fourth round, between the tackle guy in the sixth round. You have Damian Pierce, Deuce Vaughn, Roschon Johnson. Pretty exciting.
It's a good running back room. You need at least two. I watched it happen in Green Bay for years. And if you look at Williams from the Lions, who just broke Barry Sanders' touchdown record, but they created a thunder and lightning backfield of Aaron Jones and Williams. They got him in the fifth and the sixth rounds, I believe. They developed both of them. They only paid one of them at the end of their rookie contracts. Yeah. But for 3 years.
And maybe shouldn't have paid either.
Right. No. And there was a huge school of thought that Aaron Jones was going to get way overpaid at $12 million a year as a running back in the NFL, but they felt loyalty to him. But when you look at it, now it's a completely different day and age in the draft and the value of running backs to where I guess Bijan Robinson, because he's special, he's going to be like the Saquon Barkleys and the guys that are worthy of a high first-round pick. But even in last year's draft, the top running back was drafted in the 20s. So you look at it and you say, hey, you could get two guys in the later rounds, and as long as they share the load, then you don't have to. They can do what you need to do at the running back position. You already have one of them in place in Pierce. You just have to get complementaries to replace the Burkheads and the type guys that are no longer like roster fillers. You need talent there.
I wouldn't hate drafting two. I just don't want any of them before the fourth round. 8863, how about drafting Carter at two, getting the best O-lineman available at 12? Maybe I'm old school, but games are won in the trenches. Look at the Giants beat Brady. Any quarterback struggles with guys are in his face, like Levis of Kentucky. When you can rush four and be dominant, good things happen. Also build up the O-line, Pierce even better. Your quarterback has a high percentage of seeding. Now, who's your quarterback if you go that route? Maybe Derek Carr. What are your thoughts on all of this? I like the idea of going the best. If Bryce Young goes number one and Bryce Young isn't an option at number two, I like the idea of going defense there. I think Anderson and Carter are better pro prospects than Stroud or Levis. which I find funny how people just talk about Young and Stroud, never
bring
up Levis.
Do you think Anderson was just coasting a little bit?
Watching a lot of Alabama this year and going back and watching some film on Bryce Young, I would watch quite a bit of Will Anderson. Anderson would take some plays off.
There was some loafing with Will Anderson.
Once he realized
this wasn't going to be one of the years for Alabama, do you think I got the sense that this is a guy that knows that there are bigger fish to fry on the next level, and the last thing I need to do is tear an ACL or do something damaging to my body that will cost me in the long term when my team isn't going to win a natty.
There was some evidence of that.
Mm-hmm.
There was some, and now Jalen Carter has some questions. Like every
player,
I saw
has a little of
questions.
That too.
Jalen Carter, look at Jalen Carter's sack numbers. Mm-hmm. Look at Jalen Carter's sack numbers. Like
now he can move the pot. He can move the line. There's no doubt he can wreak havoc in the interior of the defensive line. He can make offensive linemen fly off of him.
Sure,
but I don't know. I don't think he's the type of guy that's going to get you a lot of sacks. I think he's going to be a run stopper. I think he's going to be a play crasher,
sure.
but I don't think he's going to be a sack guy.
Now, people think he could potentially turn into that. People think he's got the skill set to turn into it.
But I would, again, and it's hard to say this because you're evaluating him on his college career, but that his motor,
it takes
his
protection.
Ticker, is what concerns me.
You talking about Carter or Anderson?
Both of them.
There's no perfect prospect. That's the
no,
thing.
There's not.
Like you look at those two guys, we just dissected them and some red flags and like Jadeveon Clowney was always thought of as like this perfect prospect, and then all of a sudden it turns out that Jadeveon Clowney just has no will. Like he has no desire.
That's what I mean. And his ticker, you know, you got to make sure that he on every play he's giving you everything he's got. And, you know, it looks like not only does he take plays off, but it looks like he gets disinterested.
Yeah. But then you look like a Jamar Chase who didn't play his last year at LSU, and he's unbelievable in the NFL. So it's like incredibly hard to project. It really is. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Blankers, looking at this week's wild card round of the NFL playoffs, what are some teams to you? Give me one team that people are overrating, and give me a team that people are underrating.
Oof. Overrating to me has got to be the Cowboys. I just feel like for as much as people were talking early on about Micah Parsons and the defense, for as much as Jerry expects this to be a year where they, you know, compete for a Super Bowl and get to the NFC Championship game, I think there's a better than average chance that they go into Tampa Bay and they lose. And I think that it sends the entire franchise back into disarray, evaluate everything from their head coach to their quarterback. I think that as good of a regular season as they have, I don't think that they've used the weapons on their offense properly all season long with the two running backs like we were talking about, with C.D. Lamb, and I think they hurt themselves with the receivers they let get away, and I think it's all going to become evident right now. Tom Brady during the regular season, we know he lost 3/5 of his offensive line. We know that he lost a lot of veteran players. But guess what? That's with the long haul and the marathon. Now we're talking about the sprint. And with the sprint, when you've got experienced veteran players, you've got the greatest quarterback in the game, and you've got enough weapons around him that he can make sure that he can orchestrate drives and do the things he needs to, and he's playing at home. I think the Cowboys are the most vulnerable team right now to me as I look at it in terms of a team that had Super Bowl aspirations. So I think that they are completely overrated, and I think that they would be the first on my list as to be on watch.
And it's interesting because they're on the road. They're on the road as Tampa Bay, of course, won the division. So Tampa Bay, Dallas to you, the team that's overhyped. BMAC, you have one. You have a team that's overhyped.
Cowboys, and I would also say the Vikings. Those are when we did Cash It and Trash It the other day, I said that 2 12-plus win teams would go out this weekend. And I agree with Joel and the Cowboys, and I would add the Vikings to that list.
I think a lot of people, it's the sexy pick to say the Vikings are going to lose to the Giants. Our resident Eagles fan with probably a little bias, Greg Frank, came in today and said, Giants are going to beat the Vikings, right? And I said, I don't think so. I think at home in Minnesota, with all the weapons that they have enough to beat the Giants. I don't think they have enough to go a lot farther than that because they still have Kirk Cousins, but I do believe that they can beat the Giants. But I totally understand it with everybody saying that they're vulnerable because as long as you have Kirk Cousins, you are vulnerable.
Yeah, I look at it as well. I don't think there's a lot of teams that really stand out to be in this conversation. Like to me, it's Dallas and almost nobody else because I disagree on the Vikings. I don't think that the Vikings are going to lose at home to the Giants. I just don't. I think the Giants
are
a great story.
It's more of a Kirk Cousins take for me.
Why? I think Kirk Cousins like, this is a weird way to say this about Kirk Cousins. I think Kirk Cousins is overpaid but actually underrated.
I think his salary makes everybody more critical of him, no doubt.
This Kobe, it's Tobias Harris. Mm-hmm.
It may mean nothing. It may be a complete overreaction. But when you look at it, at his numbers, when he plays outside of the noon window, he's a completely different quarterback. And this game does happen to be in the 3 o'clock window.
Yeah. How is he in the 3 o'clock window?
So in the 3 o'clock window this year, well, it doesn't say that.
Because it's not prime time.
I actually have stats in front of me. So in the noon compared to any other time slot, which was 6 games this year, he goes from 288 yards per game down to 230, 21 touchdowns and 6 interceptions down to 8-8. QB rating goes from 99 to 80. I mean, it's a drastic drop-off going from the noon window to any other window. May mean nothing, may be a complete coincidence, but it's
a gambler's paradise.
It's happened. It's happened for years now.
Yeah. I think the team that's underrated to me is the Chargers. I think everybody's calling that a close game and a pick 'em game with the Jags. And I think that, you know, because of their head coach and his willingness to maybe over gamble, it kind of takes away from all the talent on that team. And they've been nicked up all year. You know, they had Keenan Allen out for a significant amount of time. Williams is out. Williams is back. Got dinged up in the last week of the regular season because he was playing in a game he shouldn't have been playing in. But you got Eckler. You got big time guys on defense. And I believe that the Chargers are going to beat the Jags. And I believe that they could actually shake things up a little bit. That team is too talented to be in a game that – I understand what Jacksonville was able to do this year, but now they're playing with house money, and I think that they accomplished more than they were supposed to accomplish. But I really believe that the Chargers are ripe to get hot now.
I'm torn on that game, and we'll do BZ Money tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The Chargers just never seem to play up to their capability. And
they really don't.
That's what worries
me about
the Chargers.
Maybe that's coaching, but the talent, there's just too much talent on that roster.
I think Brandon Staley's coaching for his job here.
I completely agree with that.
I think if Staley loses this game, Sean Payton's the next head coach in LA.
If they don't make the playoffs, he's already gone.
Yeah.
And I think that he's got to go.
Especially after what happened with Mike Williams.
Yeah, he's got to win at least one game and not get your doors blown off in the second round to save his job. I completely agree.
Clearly, just looking, if you look at the rosters on paper, like to your point, Joel, the Chargers are clearly the better roster. I think the pick against them is basically just a Charger going to Charger take because
Charger
that's kind of been
and their head coach.
Yeah, that's kind of been their lot in life for the last decade, going back further than that.
If they don't do it themselves with the players on the field, their coach is capable of going for it on 4th and 1 on their own 30, missing it, giving an easy touchdown or points to the other team,
having that a being snowball,
and having that be the difference in the ballgame.
713-780-ESPN. Who are the teams that are being overrated? Who are the ones being underrated heading into the wild card round of the NFL playoffs? 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Also, we know the teams that are in the playoffs. We know the teams that are not in the playoffs. Which non-playoff team is most likely to make the jump into the postseason next year? Is it the Texans? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Today is National Smoked Meat Day. Thanks so much to J-Bar M and Marie for bringing us over some a great juicy meat spread. It was fantastic, really good. I had the pork rib, some brisket. I couldn't say that right. Man, struggling.
You want to say
struggling? Risket for the brisket.
Dari's last name?
No, I don't. Do you?
Yeah.
Just go ahead.
Gosh darn it, I know it too.
You choked. Red light came on. You choked.
He was a Wisconsin running back.
You choked.
I did. That's not like me.
Choke.
That's on me.
You're like the Texans winning in Week 18, choking.
That's terrible.
But thanks so much to Marie and J-Bar M for bringing us in some fantastic smoked meat on National Smoked Meat Day. Head on over there, 2201 Leland Street. You will not be disappointed. It was fantastic. You check them out online, too, jbarmbarbecue.com. So we mentioned the teams that underrated, overrated, entering the wild card round, who's getting love, who shouldn't be getting love. How about the teams that did not make the playoffs? We see this every year. Teams from go from, you know, worst to first a lot of times in the NFL. We see teams that miss the playoffs make the playoffs all the time. Who are the teams that did not make the playoffs? Who's the team that did not make the playoffs this year that you would risk it all? You risk it for the brisket, now you're risking it all next year. Team that missed the playoffs that will make the playoffs next year.
Can I tell you Tuesday?
No.
Why?
Why would Tuesday matter?
Because Tuesday is when Rodgers does McAfee and says if he's back or not.
Oh.
Because if he comes.
There's no way he's saying it on Tuesday. Last year he took how long?
Well, but he wants them to reload the team. The only way they're doing that is if they're going for it right now and sacrificing draft picks and other things to get veterans in to fortify it and give him one last chance to go for it. And if he's gone, then they're just going to use draft capital and probably trade guys. So if Rodgers is coming back, he's definitely coming back for only one reason. I mean, aside from trying to not go out looking like a bumbling idiot compared to a Hall of Famer, and he didn't want to go out that way. But they'll do everything they can to go for it. And that would be my easy selection. But if I don't know where it sits, then it's harder to make that call, because without him, then it's the Jordan Love experiment and a whole lot of heartache for me.
I'll give you a caveat because I'm in the charitable mode.
Oh, thanks.
But if you want to go, okay, if Rodgers back, you pick Green Bay.
Yep.
Rodgers not back, you have to answer it that way as well. If I'm going to allow you to have an allowance, you have to give me a second team in case Rodgers is not back.
I think it's the Rams.
Not the Texans, huh?
No, I think it's the Rams because they're still ready to win. They still have Aaron Donald. They still have a really good defense. You know, if you get a healthy Matthew Stafford with all the guys that they have, and I'm sure that, of course, they'll explore free agency. They're not worried about the draft. But if they get a free agent running back, because Cam Akers evidently isn't happy, they still have got good receivers. We don't know what OBJ is going to do, but we know he's got a house in L.A. and he could still go back there too. I think the Rams are the easiest choice to say, look, if Stafford's healthy, it might be a different story. But if you have Stafford back, I think that team's ready to win now.
There's a lot of questions surrounding the Rams, though.
Yeah.
McVay's is the biggest he back? One. Stafford, what does his health look like? Like, people thought that Stafford was...
I think Stafford's wagon's also hitched to McVay. If McVay quits, I think Stafford reevaluates.
There's a lot of money for Stafford.
That's true.
There's a lot of money for Stafford.
Like Rodgers, too. He's sitting on 50 mil. Yeah. I don't care how much I'm past playing. I'll show up again for another 17-18 weeks if I get 50 mil.
If I'm washed up and horrible at my job, but I'm getting paid 5 times more than I should be paid, I'm showing up. I'm going to suck and show
5?
Up. I mean.
In your case.
5 times? Yeah. I mean, I would do it for like minimal.
Look, I was
like
just going to say, salary. But I mean, for you for 50 million, I mean, that's a lot more than 5.
I meant 5 times what I'm worth.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways. The Rams, you made me lose track of what I was saying.
You're welcome.
You have the McVay question. You have the Stafford question. Cooper Kupp, how's he going to be off of injury? Mm-hmm. So a lot of questions around the Rams.
No draft capital.
No draft capital to speak of.
Gave
no
it all
cap
away.
Room to speak of. Now you can be creative with the cap and figure it all out. The NFC's hard to predict for me. Like the Lions, they lose Benny Johnson to the Texans. I'm
that
not so sure
everything.
How I feel. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that
offense.
I think
it does change some things. Because I don't know if you can find another Ben Johnson just like that and say we're going to be the same team.
Exactly. So I wouldn't feel comfortable saying.
But they do have two first-round picks.
They do. And how they use that will be
interesting. But their defense was one of the worst in the league, so you got to believe that's where they're looking first.
I think that they actually stay with Goff.
Oh, I don't think they're drafting quarterback.
I don't either.
I think they're going with either, you know, they need a ton of help on defense, or they're going to give him. They're going to expect that a healthy Williams gives them another receiver, and they're going to look to either their offensive line is way better than anybody could have. It's really good. I think that if they could add a playmaker or they could add two guys on defense, that could be very impactful for the Lions.
8437 says the Broncos. Broncos don't have their first-round draft pick. They would need a huge resurgence for Russell Wilson. They might even lose their DC. Like their DC was their defense was the strength of this team. They could potentially be looking for a new defensive coordinator.
I mean, Sean, that's one of the places Sean Payton's interviewing. If you believe in Sean Payton as an offensive guru that he could fix Russ, then that could be a spot that turns around quickly.
That's the one positive that I would say is I believe Sean Payton could get the most out of, and I don't know what that is, but I think he could get the best out of Russell Wilson next year. But because I don't know where else the other help is coming from, and they don't have the draft capital they need.
They should get Javonte Williams back. He tore his ACL, I think, like week 2.
I don't know where they are
the
cap-wise to get free agents. But if Peyton and Russ are together, I think it would still veterans would look at it.
Part of being good at an older age, too, as an athlete, is learning what you're no longer capable of doing. I think a good example of this is Russell Westbrook. Like, Russell Westbrook at his peak was unbelievable. I mean, he's averaging triple-doubles all the time.
People don't want to admit that because of where he is now, and you're absolutely right.
But part of, like, why Russell Westbrook hasn't aged all that well is because Russell Westbrook still thinks he can do things that he did in his prime.
He's Carmelo Anthony.
Instead of being willing to accept, okay, I'm no longer good in this area. I'm no longer good in that area. And I think that's part of Russell Wilson. Like, Russell Wilson at some point is going to be like, okay, I can't do what I used to do. I can still be a good quarterback in the NFL if I play within myself.
Maybe it takes Sean Payton to adapt.
Carmelo Anthony, on the flip side, is the Russell Westbrook analogy. Russell Westbrook is a guy that refuses, just like Carmelo did, to say that I've lost a step. I'm not the same type of player. And the ego says, I still need the ball in my hands and I can do whatever I want with it. Whereas Vince Carter said, hey, if it means that I'm going to continue to have a job in the NBA and be a rotational player on good teams, then tell me what I need to do.
Who slams harder, Onyx or Vince Carter? Casey says the one that Casey actually stole mine. Casey stole mine. This isn't going to be a popular answer in the city of Houston, I don't think. Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns under a new defensive coordinator. Lots of talent on that team. Full year of Deshaun Watson. Nick Chubb's still there. Amari Cooper's still there. I think the Cleveland Browns go from being a team out of the playoffs to a team in the playoffs, and it's not good for Houston because they don't want to see Deshaun Watson have success, and they own the Cleveland Browns draft pick next year. Cleveland Browns are the one lock that missed the playoffs this year that will make the playoffs in 2023.
I mean, I can see it. I think, obviously, everything hinges on Deshaun. I mean, we were wondering how much rust there was going to be, and was he fully capable of getting rid of all of it? Well, now he's got the entire offseason with no limitations to get back to being the Deshaun Watson of old, and for the Browns' sake, better, hopefully, than he was before he went through all of that he did. So we'll see. I mean, the jury's out for me. I still don't know that he can get back to where he was. So we'll see.
And but that's a really tough division with Burrow and Lamar Jackson.
Lamar's still there.
Yeah.
It's not as tough as the Broncos division, right?
No, it's not. But, you know, when I look at the Browns situation, you assume that Chubb will still be there, but that Kareem Hunt's probably going to be elsewhere. But, yeah, good offensive line. I'm wondering defensively, because they got so many good pieces on that, was that just the whole clowny part of that at the end of the season and the dust-ups? And if that was a culmination of, was it in disarray on defense? Because there's enough good pieces, starting with Myles Garrett. They should be able to do whatever they want and run whatever they want in Cleveland. So the defense should be good. The offense has all the weapons. If Deshaun plays to his abilities, yeah, there's no reason to think that they're not a playoff team and better.
Who's yours, B-Mac?
You guys have, and I think a lot of people are looking at this as, like, who has talent that could step up or who has injured guys that could come back. I'm kind of looking at this as easiest path. And we obviously know the NFC South has been a dumpster fire this year. I don't think Tom Brady's going to be there.
Right.
The Saints are in disarray and getting older. The Falcons don't really – I mean, Desmond Ridder, is he actually their quarterback of the future? I'm going to go with the Panthers. I think they played well after they got rid of Matt Rhule. They've got an early first-round pick. I think they could step up and win the NFC South with maybe 8-9 wins.
Wow.
I'll tell you this.
Carolina.
I think another team in that division, I think Atlanta. If Atlanta figures out anything at quarterback – with all the weapons that they have on both sides of the ball, and they're young, I think Atlanta is capable. And look, you know that, you know, before the Carr situation, that the Marcus Mariota was pissed because he wasn't playing that bad, and he had them already at 6 wins when they weren't supposed to get nearly that, and they actually had a chance to do more when they shut him down, to where the right quarterback could right the ship real easily for Atlanta. Atlanta's got a lot of talent.
Hot take. Lamar Jackson's an Atlanta Falcon next year.
Depending on if they don't have to give up their roster and they just have to give up picks, boy, Atlanta could be real good real quick.
Derek wants to talk about something that we're not talking about at all. We wouldn't usually allow this, Derek, but since we're a show for the people, one of my New Year's resolutions this year is to pander.
I thought you already fell off the wagon within five minutes.
Hey, we're not going to hit 1,000. We're not going to get a hit every time. I'm trying my best to pander to the city.
You're back on the wagon today?
I'm back on the wagon, baby. Right. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Derek, what non-off-topic thing do you want to talk about?
Well, I'm talking about the Texans. Maybe they could trade Laramie Tunsil to the Cowboys and pick up a few extra draft picks and then pick up that huge contract.
Eric, as a Cowboy fan, is that why you're bringing this up?
Derek.
No, it's Eric.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of good linemen coming out in this year's draft.
I love the idea.
I love trade. You knew I love trading Tunsil before it was cool to trade Tunsil.
Yeah.
But now, even more so than ever, I'd love to trade Tunsil.
I would trade Tunsil. I don't want to be the team that pays Laremy Tunsil the next contract that's the biggest for the position. Now is the time to do it. The draft capital would never be higher. I like to sell high, not sell low. Now is the time to sell on Laremy Tunsil. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. What Jim Bowden, who is a big athletic, or covers the Major League Baseball for the Athletic, what he suggests the next move will be for the Houston Astros. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, I've been telling you about Frankie's Italian Kitchen for quite a while. I'm a big believer in the best Italian food in the city being at Frankie's Italian Kitchen. Now you can go check it out for yourself, and it's bigger and it's better than ever. That's right, they're finally open after their new location and all of the renovations and getting it really built from the ground up. It is ready to go. It is double the size of the old location. It's within a mile of the old location. So if you're in the Richmond, Sugar Land, Katy, Fulshear area, it is right there where you need it to be in the neighborhood and still has all the great menu items, all the made-from-scratch Italian food. But it's an even better environment. The Dean's Bar, the Dino's Bar, named after Dean Martin, is beautiful. And you can relax with your friends and family. You can spread out. You can get all the great cocktails, 8 big screen TVs. You can relax and you can enjoy yourself like you are at home when you are at Frankie's Italian Kitchen. The whole family will find something on the menu and love the atmosphere at Frankie's Italian Kitchen. And you will too. It's located on the north side of FM 1093 between Spring Green and FM 1463. Essentially, you can get right off of 99, right there in the Katy area, and get onto 1093, and you'll be there in no time. And it is absolutely fantastic. And during these playoff weekends of the NFL, the new Frankie's Italian Kitchen is great for both food and for sports viewing. I said those big screen TVs, 8 of them, that you can get all the food, watch the games, spread out and have some fun, or you can do takeout and you can cater your party at the house with the wings and the pizza, and you can look like an absolute genius when you get the best food in the area to your playoff viewing party. It's absolutely the best deal on the planet because Chris knows how to take care of his customers. Chris Smith, not only the owner, he also is the cook in the kitchen that makes it all happen. We're excited about the fact that Frankie's is back open, and you should be too. Check out the menu at frankiesitaliankitchentx.com. Go see him as soon as you can. Best Italian food in the city, Frankie's Italian Kitchen.
ESPN. 97.5.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now for the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, Houston Astros pitchers and catchers report in a little over a month. Valentine's Day is when pitchers and catchers report for the Houston Astros. Do you think the Astros are done? Do you think they're done making moves? That what they have is what they're going to go into the season with?
I don't, but I say that with the caveat. It's not going to be any kind of like big earth-shaking move. It's going to be either Yuli or someone like Yuli to fill up the bench in the role of utility. But other than that, I think they're done.
They don't have to make another move. Like, I think that there's a chance that they go into the season with what they have currently. I don't think that they have to do something else because you have a couple of, you know, utility guys already. Like, if you think that Hensley's going to make this big league team, then your roster's set. Yeah. Like, you have enough position players that you're breaking camp. Like, your catchers would be Maldi. And then whoever that wins the backup job between Diaz and Lee, first baseman's Abreu, Altuve, Bregman, Pena around the infield. Your outfield, Jordan, Chaz, Tucker. Your backup outfielders are Myers, and then Brantley's your DH, splitting time with Jordan. And then if Hensley makes the team, that is your final position player. Yeah. So unless, you know, you bring in somebody else, that's your 26-man roster on opening day.
The reason why I bring up Yuli is for two reasons. One, we know that the fans love him. But I think that the Bagwell factor is going to factor in. Whenever Baggy talked about him, he was always gushing and glowing about him on any telecast about, you know, his ability to command the plate and the strike zone and do the things as a contact hitter. And I just think that as they currently stand and sit, and I think, obviously we haven't heard anything with all the focus on football and everything else too, But I question whether we're going to have another general manager in place by spring training.
Yeah.
And so with that being said, I think the Baggy influence might get Yuli done for a one-year deal and be a guy that they make room for. But other than that, you're right. They don't have to make another move.
The general manager thing is interesting. And Jim Crane said that the Astros would hire a manager before spring training. So we'll see if it actually comes to fruition or not. I think it's possible they just upgrade and promote one of their assistant general managers. Like, okay,
I think they ride out the storm. There's nothing that says they have to do it, like you said. And the other thing is, in a year's time, if they are, which had been rumored, enamored with David Stern in Milwaukee, and his contract expires after this season, there's a guy you can go out and get in a year's time.
Yeah. I like the idea of Hinsley starting the year in Sugarland. I honestly do.
Because he's got enough options
left. He has options. I like to have a guy down in the minors that if a player gets hurt, that he's ready to go. You're not just bringing up a player that has zero big league experience. He's an unknown. So I like the idea of bringing in a utility player and just starting the season with Hinsley down in Sugarland. I've seen some people kind of bring up the idea, oh, why are the Astros even bringing back Mauricio Dubon? And I know that we've had fun with Mauricio Dubon, and he was Verlander's personal center fielder, all of that. Mauricio Dubon carries value on a big league team because he can play every single position. He's not going to hit, but he's a good dude to have on the bench because he can play literally every position. I have no problem with Dubon.
Yeah, the team's so talented offensively, you don't need him to hit 300.
He's cheap. Like, he's a good utility guy. He plays some good defense. He's not going to hit much. Good guy to have around. He hands Jordan Alvarez water when he hits a home run. He's a great guy to have on the team. This team currently has 13 players that could be on the big league team. So I could see a possibility where you don't add another offensive player. I would like it to be a super utility guy. If it's Yuli, I'm fine with that. And then you have Hinsley down in Sugarland. Now, the pitching staff could also potentially be set. Like, people have talked about a left-handed reliever. Like, we teased Jim Bowden of The Athletic. He suggests moves from every team before spring training. And he said the Astros with a left-hand pitcher, left-hand bat. I want to start with the left-hand pitcher aspect. Dusty's always wanted his loogie, right? Like, Dusty's always wanted his left-handed pitcher. Now, Blake Taylor's probably going to be healthy. But the Astros can carry 13 pitchers, right? 13
pitchers. Can he be better and healthy?
I don't think he's going to be better.
Oh, that's not
I think
good.
Blake.
That's unfortunate.
I think Balaki is going to be who Balaki is.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
But you look at the Astros pitching staff. You have starting rotation. I think it will be a six-man rotation. McCullers, Fromber, Urquidy, Javier, Garcia, and Brown. You have a bullpen of Presley, Montero, Neris, Stanek, Abreu, Maton. And then you have a couple of options for that final job. Seth Martinez, Blake Taylor. Like, you could easily go into opening day without adding another reliever. So right. I think the Astros potentially could be done.
They could. They very could well could be
done. And if they are done, I'm fine with it. Hey, Hinsley's on the roster, and Martinez probably gets that last job in the bullpen.
It's still as talented a roster as any in baseball, and that's why you don't have to worry if they are done. You're not like a team that's sitting there desperately going, God, we still have holes here and there to fill, and what are we going to do if this happens? Well, you don't have to have any of that. You've got depth at the starting rotation, which is always so key. You've got just a loaded offensive lineup, which is absolutely fantastic. And around the diamond, you have perennial all-stars, seemingly, and you've got backups that can fill the role on a short-term basis. So you're in a great position that could only get better, and you know that the other teams in your division are chasing every opportunity to try and get better because they know how good you are. Otherwise, Trevor Bauer wouldn't be rumored to be a Ranger or a Mariner because of the fact that no matter what they've done and continue to do and grasp at straws and try and overspend, they know they're not good enough yet to be who you are.
Did you just say Bauer to Seattle?
I had heard it this morning.
That makes a lot of sense.
It really does, because if they're in go-for-it mode and there's a guy that no one thought was going to be available and they could go get a big-time front-of-the-rotation guy at probably a cheap price, it makes a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense. Now, if the Astros do add another arm to the bullpen, I don't think they have to, because if you add an arm, it means Martinez is starting the year in Sugarland. Blake Taylor is starting the year in Sugarland. I agree with Bowden that it's going to be a left-handed reliever. Dusty Baker desperately wants a loogie, even though you have a three-batter minimum. He wants a loogie desperately. They traded Jake Overeasy for Will Smith last year. Todd, the show, mentions the name that I like. I've liked him for the last few years, Andrew Chafin. I still think the Astros probably
do. It's a good fit.
I think the Astros eventually do sign a left-handed reliever. I think it is going to be
Dusty likes
him. I don't know if it'll be Chafin or not, but I do think the Astros sign a lefty before.
I wouldn't be mad if it was Chafin.
Oh, no, I want it to be Chafin. I want it to be Chafin. Now, what Bowden said about the utility player, because I think the Astros could use a utility player, he said a left-handed bat. This is kind of what's interesting to me, because you go around the infield, like, they're all righties. Abreu's a righty, Altuve's a righty, Bregman's a righty, Pena's a righty. But the utility guy's probably going to be a little bit of a DH too, right? Because you have Brantley and Yordan who aren't going to play every day in left field. Brantley's probably not going to play a whole lot against left-handed pitching, especially with him coming off the shoulder injury. You want to take it easy with Michael Brantley. For me, it makes sense more if it's a right-handed hitter because they're going to be in the mix for DH starts against left-handed pitching than it does a left-handed hitter.
And that actually makes sense to me. Look, I think that the big thing to me is I understand that, you know, lefty priority, lefty bullpen guy, lefty bats, all these different things that we were talking about even at the start of the offseason. But I think the biggest thing to me is just Michael Brantley's health.
Sure.
If Michael Brantley's healthy, he subsides a lot of what you're worried about offensively. And I think that, you know, as a stud stick in the middle of the lineup, that handles a lot of what you're looking for. I think the utility is top of the list. I just think that that's the one position that you could fill. And I think we nailed the other one. I think that if they're going to do anything from this point forward, it's going to be the utility. It's going to be a left-handed reliever. Other than that, they don't have to do a single thing. Everybody still keeps grasping at straws with Trevor Bauer. Don't need him. Don't need the hassle that goes with him. Don't need to restart the fire of all the ugliness and the anti-Astro talk. Just stay away from it because you're too good. You're good enough without him that you don't have to go desperation to get him. So I think it's one of those two positions. If they do it, great. If they don't, they're still great.
That's why the Profar thing's big to me, because you've mentioned
that
health of
Brantley.
He wants
to be a starter, though, from what I've heard.
I don't doubt that. But if you can, like, he's no one signed him to be a starter yet. Like, he's running out of options.
The Mets have openings. The Mets are considered because the other guy
not for outfield.
No, I'm saying the Mets have an opening. They want a bat, but the reason why Profar is not going to fit the profile is because Profar wants to be a starter. The guy that they're looking at right now, ironically, is our former player that I loved that didn't work out, Trey Mancini.
Oh, are they? Yeah,
because he can be the exactly what, you know, he was for the Astros in the playoffs.
I want
DH
Mancini
first
to,
base fill-in guy.
I want Mancini to go somewhere where I can root for him.
I do too.
Like the if you look at the starting nine, what the projected starting nine is, what are the two biggest injury concerns on this team? Because I feel like I think you're failing as a general manager when you don't prepare for injury. Like, you should be preparing for pretty much everything. I don't really think it's catcher.
I do, because the fact that you don't have a veteran behind him, because you have an experienced
You don't have
staff.
A veteran, but you have two good young catchers who I think they're comfortable playing 80 games a year.
I don't think they're there yet. And I think that because it's such a vital position, now that you take the ace out of the equation in terms of the experienced veteran kind of guy that handles his own business in a Verlander, you've got a lot of guys that rely heavily on being in-game managed by the catcher. And I think that if you lose Maldi for an extended period of time and don't have a veteran behind him, I don't think that a catcher just trying to find his way in the major leagues is going to come out and he's not going to feel comfortable doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that he's capable of doing that.
I think offensively, the two obvious injury concerns would be Brantley and Yordan. And they're really the same position, left field,
offensively,
DH.
For sure.
So if you're looking at like a spot that you should, like, you have a player that could protect, like be the insurance in case Yordan or Brantley get hurt, it's a dude that can play left field. It's a dude that could bat from the right-handed side of the plate. Profar is a switch hitter. Profar might not, you're not guaranteeing him a starting job, but you're telling him, look, you're going to start 120 games.
Jeremy, I don't think
every off day that somebody has, you're starting.
Even if there's no setbacks, I'm not expecting Michael Brantley opening day.
I am.
I'm not.
But to your point, that's what makes Profar
right,
even
that's
more
why
appealing.
He's more valuable, because I think they're not going to rush him back. The World Series wasn't won in April, and I don't think that they're going to make sure that Michael Brantley's ready for opening day. They're going to make sure Michael Brantley's ready.
I'm cool with that. I'm totally cool with that. I think that he's probably going to be back, but if the Astros go conservative with Brantley, I have no issue with that
that's
whatsoever.
That's why, no matter what, Yordan starts. Baggy's points about how much he wants to see and the organization wants to see Yordan in the outfield. Early on in the season, that's the reason why Yordan's going to be playing left field.
All right, who made the list? All of the worst takes this week. Bad Take Boulevard, do you have any to add to the list? Let us know. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, or tweet them to Pac-Man Joel. It's Bad Take Boulevard with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.